Imagine that you've seen something incredibly amazing, something truly miraculous. You've just seen a man who was unable to walk, who from the time of his birth was unable to walk, stand up and start walking around. How did this happen? How can this be? Well, you just saw two men who were over close to him. In fact, you thought you saw them. One man saying something to that crippled man. You heard him say, "Stand up." And the man stood up and walked around. These men must be gods. Now, put yourself in the place of Paul and Barnabas, who were on the receiving end of that attention. The crowds that were in Lystra, where Paul and Barnabas had come and were preaching, thought that Paul and Barnabas were incredible. They thought that they were gods who had come down in human form. They wanted to worship them. But Paul and Barnabas wanted none of that. And in those days, if you wanted to show your extreme displeasure with something, specifically if you wanted to show that what someone was saying or doing was blasphemous, you would take the top of your inner garment and rip it 4 or 5 inches. And that's what Paul and Barnabas did. They didn't want to be worshipped as Zeus and Hermes. They needed to point the crowds to the one who deserved their praise. Here's what happened. We read from Acts chapter 14. And I'll begin at verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "Men, why are you doing these things? We also are men of like nature with you, and we bring you good news, that you should turn from these vain things to a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. In past generations, he allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without witness, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." This is God's word. In essence, what Paul and Barnabas told the crowds was the living God is the only one who gives life. You see, there are many other gods that can make all sorts of promises, but their promises they can't keep. The God of prosperity will tell you that if you study hard, if you work hard, that you'll be blessed. You'll be incredibly provided for with all kinds of riches, of nice clothes and houses and cars, more cash than you can count. But what happens when you do work hard and there is no job? And then the credit card bills, your loans start coming due. You'll only be disappointed. The God of beauty tells you to compare yourself to all of the glamorous people, the beautiful people out there, and to do whatever you can to make yourself look like them, whether it's by starving yourself or having plastic surgery or putting just the right moisturizer or cream on your skin. But what happens when you look in the mirror and you know that there is no way that you will ever grace the cover of a magazine because of your good looks? You'll only be disappointed. The God of self-fulfillment tells you to do whatever that you need to do to make sure that your needs are met, to make sure that you're happy, to do whatever you have to do to feel good about yourself, to make you feel that you have that inner peace and tranquility. But what happens when every road that supposedly leads to happiness leads only to a dead end? You'll only be disappointed. And so goes your life if you listen to the gods whose promises cannot be kept. It doesn't matter to which one you bow down to anyone you like. You'll not only be disappointed, you'll end up on the road which only leads to the deadest of dead ends, to hell itself. Paul and Barnabas knew that that was the road that these crowds who were trying to worship them were on. So after ripping their clothes and assuring the men that they too were flesh and blood, right away they tried to steer them in a different direction. We bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God. A living God. That's the difference, isn't it? The God whom Paul and Barnabas preached is living. It's one of his attributes. It's part of who he is. Look at the world around you, Paul says. Someone made all of this. Someone made all the nations of the earth and allows them to exist. Someone makes the rain fall so that the earth produces food for you to eat. This is the living God. What you're worshiping now is only going to bring you death. Now, Paul didn't really get to continue his sermon because it's a little bit hard to preach when stones are pummeling your body, because the crowds decided to take Paul out and stone him. Even so, the seed had been planted. The God that he was preaching is a kind God. And he's kind not just to his own people, not just to those who already worship him. He's kind to everyone. When he sends rain to the earth, it's not just for the fields and flocks of his chosen few. He sends rain so that all life can be sustained. In his grace, not only did he create the world, but he does everything necessary to keep that world going, to keep that world sustaining all life. Now, had Paul been able to continue, we can probably guess where his message would have gone eventually. God is not only the only one who can and does give physical life. He is the only one who can and does give eternal life. Paul wrote to the Christians at Rome, God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved from the wrath of God. Life. That's what God wants for all of his creation. That's what he wants for all people that he has created. He wants them to have life, eternal life. And it's really a good thing that God is the one who gets to make that decision. Who gets eternal life? If it were up to us, there probably would be fewer people in heaven. That guy who just ticked me off, done for. That lady who just made me look bad, she's history. My spouse who just left me, toast. No, the God we worship is kind and loving. And he's kind and loving to everyone, to the just and the unjust, the gentle and the mean, the loving and the hateful. Not only does he provide us with everything that's necessary for our physical life, he has given his son so that we can have eternal life. He gave his son for everyone. He is everyone's savior, even if they don't believe it. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that everyone is going to heaven. When Jesus died on the cross, when he showed his infinite love in that death, he wants us to love him. He wants us to trust in him, to have faith in him. And that trust, that faith that's worked in us by the Holy Spirit, through that trust, we do have life. Is there someone that you know who is only worshiping gods that cannot deliver, that cannot give life? Do you have a friend who needs to hear that the God who puts a roof over her head is the same God who put his son on the cross? Do you have a relative whose life seems filled with hate who needs to hear that there's a living God who loves him? The God that you worship today, right here, right now, is the living God. He is the living God who gives life, physical and eternal life. Give him thanks for that life. Rejoice in that life and share that message of life with anyone that you can. Amen.